Welcome to the Reformist Pipeline, your dose of empowerment and the pipeline to inform your decisions on how you can support change in our education system. This is Lindsay, affectionately known as Miss Black.
And I'm Hadi Ha, Mr. Broussard. If you're feeling like you're ready for the spring weather to get here, Lens, what's going on this week?
Oh, yes. Spring is such a good thing to start with. I actually, this past weekend, went to the Bay because that's where I'm originally from. Yeah. And when my mom's coworkers had a spring equinox party. They hadn't hosted anything in a very long time, so they wanted a reason to have a party. But I thought it was very intentional. They had a, they're very Afrocentric, and so their community and their village like reflects that. And that was just a beautiful thing in itself. And then there was a new moon. So we all wrote our intentions on paper. We read them together as a community, as a circle, and then burned them in the fire. So it felt very intentional. It felt like just like love. Like you don't know these people, but now you know a little bit more, and you can just hearing what people's values are and what the intentions they're trying to set and being like, oh, that resonates with me, and having something to like add to my list of intentions to be set was really cool. So yeah, spring is here. It's warm. People's seasonal depression is melting off. That's the most important part.
That part, because I was going to say that the weather is amazing and it's looking so beautiful outside, so much so that this past weekend I was out and there were tons of people out and about around the National Mall, and you know it's cherry blossom season here in DC, and so just to be back in the space in which folks are coming and like gallivanting and having a good time, seeing tourists, seeing all types of people from all over the world come here, it just honestly, it makes me happy, so much so that I'm like, dang, I'm like tearing up a little bit. But just because we haven't seen that in so long, and like the monuments have just been dead more recently, just given COVID and all of the things. And so we need a lot. And to see that people are out and about, it made my heart so happy. And in addition to that, even when in the midst of all the good things that are going on, unfortunately, I do have some bad news, which is the fact that there's been this little convoy situation that's been circling the Beltway causing traffic. But, you know, it's still not really created any type of damper on my day. I look at the fact that they're causing traffic. And as soon as you're able to get ahead of them, the road just kind of frees up. So I kind of look at it as like a temporary stall, but honestly, it's not that bad. So I just get a maneuver around it, and then you have a free kind of area in which you can just drive up. So all that's to say, even in the midst of the gas prices going up, Rick getting his hair braided, all the things, there's still things to smile about. So that's what's going on over here.
That is very true. I think the one thing that I have been smiling about, but also been like, what the heck, and also have to adjust to, is now that I'm not a teacher, right? And so y'all know, just get ready. The next episode that drops on, I think it's April 11th is when the next episode drops. Anyways, that is where we will begin my story of how I left the classroom. And because I'm not in the classroom anymore, you know, my Instagram page is public. I'm on TikTok now. And, you know, TikTok can like suggest people based on numbers, based on your phone number. When I tell you the amount of parents, the parents and the students that are either following me or like something, and like, I'm honestly on both TikTok and Instagram. I'm just like, it's an adjustment for me, because at the end of the day, I don't post nothing that like I'm afraid for people to see. And I feel like everything represents me, but there has been a side. Like I always felt like I was living a dual life, like being a teacher and then being a hot girl on the weekends. And now people have access to both because I just want to live my life. So it's an adjustment. It's a less traumatic experience as it would be maybe like 5 months ago, but that's also spring in action.
Spring. And you know, I was thinking about this. I'm like, what's my favorite season? And I'm not sure if I have just like one season that's my favorite, but I will say that like outside of the allergy situation, because I am a living testament to tell you that DC has done a number on my allergies. But at the end of the day, I do love this whole spring / into summer transition. I'm here for it all, because I just like to not have to wear so many layers of clothing. And so
Period.
I'm excited for the weather to be weathering. That's all I need to say about the weather, okay? We want the weather to
To be
weather.
weathering.
But on another note, like you were saying, this whole tell-all that you're about to get into in the next episode of the Reformers Pipeline, I'm excited for it. And as I've told you before, Lindsay's also going to write a book, y'all. She doesn't know it yet. And
All
I'm
right, let's come on, Todd. That's not even what this episode is about. All
just.
right, ladies and gentlemen and gentlemen's, we are about to get started and jump into this episode, which is actually not even about me, but about some other voices that we're going to highlight. So turn your sound up. You have now entered the concept development. And I know I don't have to say this, but just in case you didn't know, the concept development is the bulk of the episode. This is where we actually jump into our topic for the episode. And as you know, if you've been listening and following along and following us on Instagram at the Reformist Pipeline, you know that this semester of season three has been solely dedicated to the Great Resignation and how it's impacted the education system specifically. Now, the Reformist Pipeline is here to serve as a pipeline between educators and non-educators to inspire collaboration to create change. And one of our pillars in doing so is to uplift educator voices. So today we have six guests, six beautiful human beings that are either former educators or considering leaving the classroom. And they are going to answer a few questions for us. The questions go as follows. What was your purpose for entering a career in education? How has your purpose shifted? Or what parts of your purpose did you have to let go of to be able to transition out? What year made you quit? Why have you left? And if you're considering leaving, what is preventing you from leaving? All very interesting questions and questions that Hadi and I have actually had to ask ourselves. So we are super excited to hear from our guests today. And so excited that we want to make sure we keep their responses pure. We don't want to muddle their voices or impose our own projections on their thoughts. So we won't be saying too much or adding our two cents in between each guest as we've done in the past. So I just ask that you be ready to listen with an open mind and an empathetic heart as our courageous guests share their stories.
Thank you, Lindsay and Jahad, for having me on today. I really appreciate your platform, this educational advocacy that you are providing for us as educators and informing those of the educational system, what it is like, what it is doing, and keeping us engaged. I truly want to thank you for the invite. So I am Darren Daly. I currently am teaching in the DC charter school system. I am teaching 8th grade English. I've been teaching for the last 5 years English for middle school. I started out in a private school in Maryland teaching 6th to 8th grade English, and now I'm currently teaching 8th grade English in DC charter school system. So I have struggled with this idea of purpose for quite some time now. I would say for the last 3 or 4 honestly months, and going back to where you were sitting in that education classroom and they're talking to you, you know, in order to be a teacher, you need to understand your purpose. Why do you want to be a teacher? What's your philosophy behind teaching? And I had to sit and think about that. But even thinking about it, like, why am I a teacher? What is the purpose of the career that I have chosen, that I've gotten these degrees in? What is my purpose? And I honestly couldn't go back to that right now. But thinking back on my purpose, I believe that my purpose for education and my purpose for teaching is, one, to touch a life of a child so they can understand their ability, and their ability then equals the success in which they have in life. And sometimes children can't understand that ability just through circumstances that they might be facing or environmental constraints that might be on them. And it's that teacher's job to help reveal their purpose, to reveal their ability, which I believe equals success. And I want every student that I encounter to reach that success. Whatever steps it might take, I still want them to reach that success in their life. So my purpose has shifted. It's because, honestly, educational system has changed. The students are changing. The system within is changing. But do I have those necessary resources to benefit my students, to understand what their ability is, to understand what success is? Success is different what it was then than it is now. So I'm baffled. I'm kind of struggling with understanding that purpose. And is that purpose still aligned with today's educational structure and educational system? So thinking about the year that is having me contemplate leaving education in general, honestly, has to be the year following, you know, the complete lockdown and shutdown of the world. And I guess that's the current year that I'm in. It's because this shift in education has caused us to be and to settle for low expectations. During COVID, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to teach, what platform to teach, what to teach, how to present the information. And now being back in the building, we're trying to go back to what it was. But you have to understand, students missed a year and a half, 2 years developmentally of what a school expectation should be. Currently teaching eighth grade, they are mentally sixth graders. They're not self-aware of themselves. They're not self-aware of how themselves impact others. So then that trickles down into academics. Students have low expectations or been presented with low expectations for a year and a half, 2 years. Then we have to then shift of meeting them where they are and pulling them up. Love it. Great idea. But when the kids can't see that within themselves, because they're living in an era right now and probably during the pandemic at home, studied how to become TikTok famous, how to become YouTube, Instagram famous. And when they don't see the worth of academics right now, and you're trying to put that in their minds, and especially into our Black and brown kids' minds, of the privilege of academics and what it does for your life, that shift is gone. They don't understand it. And you try to preach it. You try to push it at them and have these conversations. You cultivate these talks with them, but they just don't get it yet. And I think that's what's bothering me so much, because I care. I care for their success. But if it's hard for me to present that, if it's hard for me to understand it, then it might be time for me to leave. And so if struggling to understand the shift in my thought process of my purpose, I have thought about, is education the career for me anymore? I have shifted my thought process and even thinking, if I am not reaching the students, if I am not able to truly help them reach their ability, it's time for me to leave. And I'm thinking about making this shift, one, to benefit not just me, but the students. I don't know what this shift might be. I don't know what my next career is going to be. But I do understand that if I am not fully being able to change lives through what I'm doing in education, it's time for me to go. And I think the only thing that's really preventing me from going is I care. I care so much about the lives that I'm touching. I went into education because I wanted to touch lives, change mindsets, help someone reach their ability for success. And I care so much about them. Will I ever leave in the middle of a school year or start a school year out and just abruptly just leave? No, because I care so much. But am I truly reaching them? So I don't want to leave it because I care so much, but I don't know. It's very hard to really wrap my mind about that because I don't know what my next step is. I'm still trying to decide what that next step truly might even be.
My name is Afriya Dunbar. I'm located in New Orleans, Louisiana, and this is where I had my teaching career. I taught 6th and 7th grade math at a school called Stella Worley, and later I taught 9th grade math at a school called George Washington Carver High School. I entered the classroom because of honest joy of wanting to like impart knowledge to students and also learn from them, because it is a give and take. It's a you share what you know, but they also have information, knowledge, experiences that they want to share. So I started off in the classroom in Santiago, Chile. I was teaching English there, and I realized like how much I loved it. So that recognition, along with the fact that there was a need for teachers in the U.S., motivated me to come back here and find opportunities to teach. So I found an organization called Teach for America, and I joined it. And I was placed in New Orleans, and I started my teaching career here at a middle school called Stella Wehrle. My purpose shifted in the classroom when I recognized how many obstacles my students faced while I was in the classroom. When I was teaching middle school, a lot of my students had issues getting access to like quality healthcare, and that interfered with their academic success. And then later, the same issues kind of persisted when I went to a high school. The kids were amazing. The experience was amazing, but I got frustrated with the obstacles that they were facing that had to do with their medical care. So that kind of shifted my focus. There wasn't a specific year that made me want to quit teaching. I loved teaching, and I loved being in the classroom and interacting with my students and learning from them. It was a great experience. I think the need I saw that they had outside of the classroom is what prompted me to transition. I started becoming interested in transitioning my third year in the classroom. And I went back to school, so I was taking night classes at a community college to see if I could transition and like go into a different career. And that is how that started. And I ended up transitioning out after my fourth year. I gave everybody warning. I told them at the beginning of my fourth year that that would be my last year. I told my students, I told the faculty. I was very transparent about what my plans were. And everybody was really supportive. And I felt like it was just my next point in my journey as far as how I was going to be of service. Because I always wanted to have a career of service, and whether that service was in the classroom or outside of it, I knew like the population I wanted to serve, which is like underserved youth, especially adolescents, because I feel like they are a very important population that kind of gets overlooked medically because they're between pediatrics and adulthood, and you want to treat them as such. I decided to transition out of the classroom because of the need I saw being unmet for my students as far as quality medical care. Having a population of students who are so amazing but feel uncomfortable with their medical providers interfered with their ability to get quality care. And I think it's really important for a provider to try to communicate with their patients in like the most effective manner. And so because I saw that need, I decided to go back to school and pursue medicine so that I can provide that service to kids like my students, so the obstacles that they interact with and face don't have to be that of a medical nature.
Hello, everyone. My name is Devaney Smith, and I currently live in Glen Arden, Maryland. I taught sixth grade mathematics in Jacksonville, Florida, at Northwestern Middle School. And then I also taught seventh and eighth grade mathematics in Washington, D.C., at Washington Global Public Charter School. My purpose for entering education, becoming a teacher, was to be able to help Black students who looked like me see something different in this world, because it's really difficult to believe you can do something if you don't see anybody else doing that or know somebody who knows somebody who's doing something different. And so my entire purpose was to be able to give back in that way. And so because I entered education in order to give back to students, in order to show them something different, when I decided that it was time for me to leave the classroom, I knew that I would still be able to fulfill that purpose, even if it looked different, even if it was not directly interacting with middle schoolers on a day-to-day basis right now, that I would eventually be able to get back to that same purpose through my work. And so I think I have been able to do that through staying in the nonprofit world and working with underrepresented minorities in business and even in the STEM world as a whole. Right now, my job is to help undergraduates find internships in software engineering. And so it still has the STEM impact that I've always wanted to see for people who look like me, because we historically have not been given the same opportunities in those fields. And so I wanted to be able to show my students that in the classroom, and now it's still something I get to do outside the classroom, and I love it. So my second year of teaching definitely made me quit, because eighth graders are just an entirely different type of a vibe. And so you really have to be able to understand where they are in their development, which does not always coincide with where they are in their academic journey. More specifically, how they behave and interact. They're definitely one of the more challenging age groups. And so I knew that I wasn't going to be a teacher forever. So I kind of knew going into the field in general that this wasn't something I was going to do forever. I thought I would do it for a few years, but that second year really changed things for me. And also personally, I took some really hard health hits that honestly I probably could have bounced back from and stayed a teacher had my school been on top of the HR processes and signing up for insurance and making sure people didn't miss the deadlines, because that is what happened. And so I ended up not having insurance that year, going through a lot of health challenges, and to the point that 5 days before the last day of school, I pretty much like collapsed at school and had to be rushed to the ER for a complicated migraine that they still think is just caused by stress. And so I really felt like I needed to prioritize myself, my health, my well-being. I wanted to be here, so I needed to prioritize that, and that environment was just not a place that I could do that at the time. And so that is what made me decide to leave teaching. I ultimately decided to leave teaching because, as I mentioned, my well-being, my health was definitely not thriving in that environment. But also the school that I was at was not a good fit, and I was not really in the mindset to be shifting to another school. And so I just decided at that time that, you know, this is where my journey ends when it comes to being in the classroom. But since I still get to work with the youth and work with students, I never really left the field of education. It really just transitioned into something a little less formal, which is exactly what I wanted when I went into it. So I think leaving was the best decision for me at that time. And it was a hard one, but sometimes you have to know when the door is closing and look for the window.
Greetings, my name is Jackie Flott, and I taught kindergarten math at a DC public charter school. Upon receiving my bachelor's degree in elementary education from Howard University, I knew that I wanted to serve my community by helping to close the opportunity gap for Black and brown children. Serving those same children, that's my North Star, but I always knew that I wouldn't stay in the classroom forever. My heart is set on developing and retaining quality teachers, so that's what's kept me grounded during my transition out of the classroom. Funny enough, I had so much optimism about my third year of teaching. I knew my co-teachers and my leadership well, and I finally felt like I found my groove in work-life balance. However, my expectations were upended during my third year. I spent the entire year internally conflicted, but ultimately, I decided to leave once that school year concluded. The students and coworkers are always the best part of the job, but in the end, I left because of the lack of support. My academy lost great leaders mid-year, which caused a ripple effect of teachers leaving also. I left because my work life was not balanced at all, and the stress began to weigh on me mentally and physically. Since then, I've been pursuing my master's in educational technology, which will allow me to still help K-12 teachers in an impactful way.
My name is Saida Taylor. I go by Sai. I've taught in Dallas for most of my career. I also taught in Fulton County for a little while. Don't ask. I have taught in everything from kindergarten to sixth grade, reading, writing, math, even special education. If you could think about it, I've taught it. So about 6 years ago, I decided that I wanted to join an alternative teaching program called Urban Teachers in Dallas, Texas. I remember saying that I wanted to be the change in education. I literally have no clue what I meant by that. I thought that I wanted to help children and teaching was going to be the way to do that. But when I became a teacher in Dallas, I was working in these like inner city schools. And I realized that my whole purpose was to teach children who were Black and brown kids that deserved equitable education from highly educated educators. I wanted to make sure that they knew that each day when I stood in front of them, that it was a privilege and I was the one having the privilege to teach them. I realized that I don't need to be the change in education. What I needed to do was be a mom for some of my kids, an aunt, an older cousin, somebody who was a positive influence in their life that told them that they were special and that they were important and that they mattered, and make sure that they understood that they could use education as the way to do whatever they wanted to do. I was never meant to save or change children. I was just meant to be someone to them, to help them understand who they are and who they are matters, and that their skin color and that their culture is important. And education should be for them and not just for children who look a certain way. I quit teaching in 2021, but honestly, I should have probably quit the year prior. COVID really changed how education was done. I realized there were so much holes in public education and the children were being devalued by the curriculum, by how they were getting the lessons, and it was unfair to them. And it almost made me feel as though I was an incompetent educator when I know that wasn't the truth. The hybrid learning of teaching in person and online at the same time simultaneously was difficult, it was stressful, and it was just too much. And I just felt as though that I just did not have enough support in 2021, that I couldn't be the best teacher for my students. And the moment I stopped taking care of me, I knew that I was doing them a disservice by being in front of them. And I knew that change had to happen and I had to leave the classroom. I left the classroom for me. My mental health was not where it needed to be at. I was unhappy. And I was in my 20s. I remember work sometimes being so stressful that I would break out into these stress hives across my entire body. And I remember sitting there thinking, this cannot be my life. This is not what I wake up to every day. I love the children, but the politics behind education really pushed me out the classroom. The one thing that I wish I would have told myself was not to feel guilty about choosing me. I suffered from survivor's remorse for a while when I put in my 2-week notice. Even after I left, I felt guilty like, oh my gosh, I am leaving my children in the hands of people I do not know. What will happen to them? But then I realized, Saida, you have to choose Saida because you live with you every single day. And after I dealt with that conclusion, I have not looked back. I feel great. I'm happy that I've transitioned outside the classroom. And I would encourage people to really take time to think about what they want out of their life, and if education is really what they want to do, and if they do want to do it, do they want to do it within the classroom as an educator or some other realm? Because going to smart technologies was exactly what I needed. So I'm education adjacent, not in the school, but I still make sure that I am giving back to my community and making sure that children who look like me have the best equipment in their schools.
My name is Braxton Shelton Epps. I taught in Washington, D.C., primarily in early childhood education, so from grades first through as young as pre-K 3. So my original purpose for entering education, my background, my bachelor's is in English, and I had gotten to senior year in undergrad, and I'm like, what am I going to do with this degree? So I went into financial aid counseling, and that really wasn't working for me. And I found an opportunity to be a teacher's assistant. And from there, I just, you know, went from there. So I've always been sort of good with kids. I've had like babysitting jobs and tutoring gigs and things when I was in high school. So it was just a logical next step for me. So in terms of what I've had to let go or sacrifice in my transition out of education, I was in my second year of a master's of education program, which was sort of like a partnership through my former educator. And I sort of resigned in February, and in theory, had I stayed, I would have graduated in April. So it's kind of bittersweet, but I know that I had to make a decision for my long-term health and it was more important. Like, I had to choose me. I want to say this is year 3 or 4 that I've been in education, but honestly, I'd always be the one talking shit, like, yeah, today's gonna be the day, like, I'm out of here, today's gonna be the day, and I finally did it. Like, the opportunity presented itself, and I transitioned on out, and I couldn't be happier. I sort of alluded to it before, but yeah, I had to choose myself. It became such a toxic and detrimental environment, and I feel like it's a common saying in educators, like, it's not the kids, it's the adults, but that was truly the case for me. I couldn't take it. It was miserable for me, and I knew that if I didn't make the move that I did when I did, then I don't think I would have been able to get out. And I didn't want to be like the miserable people around me who were more or less stuck in education because that was the only thing that they were good at or where they felt powerful. Like, no.
And with that, you got to hear from 6 amazing people who really embodied our pillar of empowerment by being vulnerable and speaking their whole truth. On behalf of the Reformers Pipeline, we want to thank our guests for taking their time and telling their stories so that more advocates like yourselves can understand why it's important for us to protect our educators and learn how you can support change in our education system. And now it's time for our call to action. We're crowdfunding to raise just $4,000 to cover expenses to produce high-quality podcasts, to enhance our social media marketing, as well as our presence.
And y'all, we want to put on another live show in order to uplift the voices of our educators. The link to donate, it's our Indiegogo crowdfunding link, will be located in the description. And if you follow us on our social media pages, you will also find it in the bios.
Peace, love, and light, y'all.
Hootie hoo!